The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
It is an interesting paradox, isn't it, that technology has freed us from having to be in the same physical space. Think of video conferencing or Skype. We don't all have to physically be in that same meeting room to actually have a huddle. And yet, on the flip side of things, if you ask anybody how they feel about not having a desk at work, most would say it affects their affinity to the workplace. So here are the stats. An overwhelming 96% of workers in Singapore and Asia Pac have said that collaboration technologies help them be more productive and helps them work smarter. This according to the growing Big Ideas from Small Spaces study by Polycom. Right here in Singapore, some 84% of workers say they use collaboration solutions to conduct their team meetings with colleagues in other locations. So, this could mean that where you work now is much like less likely to affect your productivity thanks to technology. But according to Business Insider, productivity is negatively affected when people are just not able to nest in their own personal spaces. And this was reflected in an informal poll that we held here on Money FM on our Facebook page that was conducted over a week last month. And the majority of you told us that hot desking does affect your affinity with the company. So our big question today for you is, how does your workspace affect your productivity? We put that question to Maylin Low. She's Director of Apex Solutions Marketing at Polycom. Maylin, welcome. Let's start talking about collaborative technology first up and how it does help us work so much smarter these days. Can you give us some examples so the listener can understand collaboration technology?
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me on the show. And how collaboration helps us work smarter and in the workplace today. At Polycom, with about 25 years of experience in business communications, we like to believe that it unleashes the possibility of human collaboration. And how that really translates is getting everyone to be more productive and efficient in what they do through better communications. And this can come in the form of audio communication. It can be layered on with video and audio. And then, of course, the trifecta would be to have content as well so that we're literally on the same page when we talk about a topic or have a discussion or try to make a decision in the workplace. So when we talk about solutions or technology that makes us work smarter, that's typically what we refer to.
Mm-hmm. So how companies and employees can benefit from collaboration technology?
Very often what they do is on the employer side, there are often cost-based considerations. These are things like real estate costs where, you know, as you mentioned about workplaces, whether it's nesting or open offices, we see companies trying to replate the office to a more open environment in order to foster collaboration for people who are physically in the office. Mm-hmm. And then they layer on collaboration solutions for people who may be remotely available at another location or in another country. So that's one way in which it affects the physical environment.
Okay, I want to unpack a little bit more about what collaboration technology is enabling. So you mentioned a while ago huddle rooms, and apparently Singapore is among the countries in Asia-Pac leading the use of collaboration tech in small meeting rooms or these huddle rooms. Why are they gaining in popularity and what are they exactly?
So huddle rooms are rooms that tend to be smaller meeting rooms. They are more informal meeting rooms compared to, say, boardrooms or executive meeting rooms where you have that, you know, chunky table and, you know, big, huge, expensive chairs. So these are informal ad hoc spaces. And these spaces are also available for spontaneous collaboration, for on-demand collaboration. So it's not always just scheduled. Mm. Sometimes when you see something open, you dash in and then you want to have a quick conversation because that's what you need to be able to get your job done for that day. So huddle room typically represents that. The size also represents, is typical for a huddle room. When you say huddle, we don't see a huddle of 20 people. So It's a huddle of
intimate space.
Mm. 1 to 6, and then perhaps some people on the remote end. So on the screen, you might see some participants. Right. You might see like a mosaic of certain people if you have a video collaboration call, and so forth. So it tends to be smaller and more intimate in that sense.
Okay, that's what I want to ask you as well. My next question: video enabled huddle rooms. Your study also shows that we're lagging in the use of video enabled huddle rooms. Mm. So why should we consider using video enabled huddle rooms, and why do they matter?
Okay, so Michelle rightly mentioned earlier on that an overwhelming 96% of respondents to the survey mentioned that collaboration technologies help them to be more productive and also help them work smarter. And these same people, when surveyed, said that video collaboration technology does make them more productive. So it's a little bit of a, if you build it, they will use it. And when they use it, they love it. And that's the right outcome. And then after that, that really unleashes that possibility within an organization. So it's as we challenge IT decision makers or organizations not to just think about what they need today, but build for what they think they can develop their employees towards using, towards contributing to the organization.
Build for possibility. If you build it, they will come. Taking a closer look at a study by Polycom, the study is titled Growing Big Ideas from Small Spaces. And that study showed that over 95% of workers in Singapore and Asia Pac say collaboration technologies help them be more productive and work smarter. Mei-Lin Low is Director of Apex Solutions Marketing at Polycom. Mei-Lin, give us an idea of how the rest of Asia Pacific is leveraging collaborative technologies.
So early on, we had mentioned about Singapore lagging behind in the use of video collaboration technology. So maybe just bridging off that, we can mention a little bit about some of our Asia Pacific partners or Asia Pacific neighbors who may be using video collaboration a lot more. So, for example, we have China and India, who in the survey are listed as having 2/3 of their huddle rooms equipped with video collaboration technology. So this is an example of, again, the if you build it, they will come, which is they have built rooms that have the availability, and which then allows employees to adopt when they see that there is ease of use and when they see that there are solutions that can really help them. And so this is one way that some of our developing country neighbors are actually kind of leading the way. And that's, I think, a very admirable example and very interesting as well.
Okay, well, why do you think there's been a growing trend for more workplace collaboration in Singapore and the region?
I think definitely there are the employee side and also the employer side factors. So firstly, I think something that we hear very commonly about would be kind of, employee retention and also attracting the right employees, and also having a new generation of millennials coming into the workforce. So having these collaboration tools that are high technology, that are collaborative and communicative and real time, really fit into that workspace and work style culture of millennials. It also gives you the flexibility to be in different places or work from anywhere, and that kind of a work-life balance really suits both the active millennials but also the baby boomers who are going through, as I am now, kids going to primary one. And then after that, you also have people with aging parents or aging workforce where, you know, they can still contribute and they can still be very valuable to companies. And so allowing them to not have to jostle on the daily commute, but be able to use collaboration technology to do their work is also something that extends the life of every single person in Singapore as a workforce or contributing workforce member, and that really helps our economy. So I think that's one on the employee side. And then on the employer side, of course, we typically talk about costs to the organization, such as real estate, not having to have, one person with a cubicle, a desk, with a phone, with internet, aircon, all that kind of thing. Those are costs to an organization. But if I build that into your salary, that which is something that you can use to power whatever it is that you may need at home, that you may need to be functional, that is a win-win on both sides, the employee as well as the employer. So I think these are the key factors here that really make that fly.
Yeah, so, you talked a little bit about reducing costs and open plan offices to some extent do that. So the co-working spaces and hot desking reduces the amount of real estate needed to be devoted to one employee at one time. But how do you think these initiatives fare up? Are they really effective, in your opinion, when it comes to collaboration?
I think they can, as with most initiatives, they can be very positive, but they can also be quite negative. I realize you mentioned workplace affinity earlier on in the opening segment, and I think that's something that people do feel, the loss of territory. Mm. I think the loss of what used to be mine, and where do I put my family photo and my plant, things like that. Those are things that are very real, that affect every single person. In fact, that's what happened to me. I don't have a desk in the office. I work purely from home. And when I go into the office, I have to pick something that's available and then just set myself up there. So that did take a bit of a transition. Mm. But I think an understanding in the office, firstly, that hot deskers are not second-class citizens, mm-hmm. is definitely a very important thing. Mm-hmm. I think the other would be wear the badge with pride, that you can work at home or anywhere that you like. Mm-hmm. This is about, you know, having choices as opposed to having something taken away from you. Mm-hmm. And it's about resetting that mindset. And eventually, when we can see the positives of not commuting at, you know, peak hours, being able to work from the comfort of your home, these are things that, you know, some people actually stay in companies for, with, you know, and or would rather have than to have a desk but have to be on time 8 to 5, right? So resetting the mindset probably would be one.
Okay.
Half empty, half full.
And the primary schooler is enjoying having you at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we mentioned earlier that at the start of the interview that Money FM, our station, conducted on our Facebook page a month ago about this thing about hot desking. And some 64% of respondents told us that they think hot desking does affect their affinity with their company. I mean, the lack of a fixed work desk, perhaps they don't have a photo of your wife and your children on the table, makes a difference. So do you think that this is a risk for companies considering hot desking?
It's definitely a risk. It must definitely be handled with care. Mm. It should not be brushed aside as something that, oh, you'll get over it kind of thing. It has to be a concerted effort between what we nowadays see as, again, the golden triangle within the Office of Workplace Collaboration and Workplace Futures, which is the facilities team, because obviously they deal with space, IT team, because they deal with technology and the ability to connect, and then the HR team, because you have to communicate this to your employees and make sure that they continue to feel valued. So it's definitely a risk. Companies have to handle this carefully, but they can definitely mitigate it by having clear comms, good collaboration solutions, and also, you know, making sure they don't brush it under the carpet.
And do you think that supervisors and managers need to also change the way they think about managing their employees who are expected to hot desk or use these collaborative technologies? For example, you know, if you expect people to hot desk, they should be given the tools that allow them to work anywhere versus having a computer that's chained to a hot desk. So do you think supervisors and managers need to change mindset when it comes to management?
Absolutely. So, supervisors, firstly, have to get used to not seeing their employees where they expect to see them. So you won't be seeing your team sitting right in front of you. They could be scattered anywhere in the office. But this scattering could be good for them because they could be situated near people they work with all the time, as opposed to their boss, whom they report in with, you know, only periodically, right?
Sure.
So that could be a good thing. But you have to get used to the concept of not being able to see your employees, and you have to get over the concept of presenteeism. Mm. Someone who is not physically there does not mean, you know, they're not working. And therefore, that is a concept that supervisors have to change. They also have to definitely rely on collaboration tools, whether it's audio, whether it's video, whether it's content, to have that constant face-to-face, right? Because employees also need to feel that they are valued members of the organization. Mm. When you do your one-to-one with them, when you do your evaluations with them or your weekly check-ins with them, that face-to-face connect is important. So whether someone is in Singapore on the other end of the office or someone is in, you know, Australia, you may be someone who is a regional manager, right?
Right.
You have to be able to have that face-to-face connect. And that huddle rooms and collaboration technology kind of support that reality.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Mei-Li Low, Director of Apex Solutions Marketing at Polycom. We'll be talking about hot desking, the benefits and the bad side of hot desking right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.